This morning scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, and I'll be reading chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. That's Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prisons of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may all be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see everybody today. A special welcome to our guests. And we have some folks visiting from the area. We're so thankful that you're here. And we welcome again our brothers and sisters from the Keller Church. It's really a blessing to have you. And we love and appreciated you before you came, before we even met you. And we love and appreciate you even more, having gotten to be with you just for a day. We give God thanks for your safe travel and look forward to a great week together. We have lots going on. The picnic's been mentioned that we're doing this afternoon. We'll be working out on the garden this week. Also doing some door-to-door work in the neighborhood and doing some home projects. We're really looking forward to all of that and appreciate not only the group that's come who have just ready to sacrifice so much just to be a blessing to us, but so many here who've worked hard over the last few weeks preparing for this, who've been working hard this last week, who will continue through this week to serve in many different ways. We just are grateful for our brothers and sisters in this congregation as well. And just look forward to the opportunity of all working together and just reaching out in the name of Jesus this week and doing things that bring honor and glory to him, and especially being able to make an impact for Christ in our neighborhood. And so if you're not able to go to the park today for some reason, enjoy that picnic, if you'd spend some time this afternoon praying about what's happening there, just as we meet people, as we have conversations, as people come over and share food with us, that you just be praying that there would be hearts open, that we'll have an opportunity to plant the seed, just to start something with some people who live in our neighborhood. We'd sure appreciate that support in prayer as well. We've been talking about this week, our project being called Service in the Sun, because that's really what it's all about, serving others in the name of Jesus, serving others in a way that we hope will bring honor and glory to God, that people can see in us and in our lives and through the good works that we do, not just us, but the fact that we're doing this because of our Savior Jesus and because we participate within that life that he's brought about through bringing the kingdom of heaven to this earth. That's our mission. And today we're kind of focusing on the mission of Jesus, which is essentially our mission as well. We're focusing on a passage in Luke chapter 4, in verses 12 or 14 to 21, where Jesus is back home in his hometown of Nazareth and announces basically to that hometown group of people worshiping there in the synagogue who he is, what he has come to do. And he does so in this way, Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." It was quite a homecoming. Jesus had begun his ministry in Galilee, but now he's back home where he grew up in Nazareth. He's at that synagogue where he had spent so many years as a little boy with his mom and his dad and his brothers and his sisters. And he's given the opportunity to read that day. And the scroll is given in the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens up the scroll. He opens up to what we call Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, that was read to us just a few moments ago. And in this passage, it's kind of a climactic section in the book of Isaiah because it's after all the doom and gloom of exile and judgment. And it's about the glory of Zion and God coming through the Messiah to restore all things, to make everything new, to change everybody's life. And at the heart of that is bringing about this new age of God's favor among his people. And Jesus is basically saying, that day has come. It is here, it's now, and it's in me. In the words of Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus announces to his hometown, to the world, to us, to people forever who will read this text, who Jesus is and specifically what it is that he's come to do on this earth. And he says that it's about his ministry, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to do these things, to preach the good news to the poor. Jesus has a heart for the poor, as God has always had a heart for the poor, for the people who are desperate, who are needy. Jesus will say in Luke chapter 6, blessed are those who are poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he's concerned with the people who are always downtrodden, who are always on the margins of society. And he comes to proclaim good news to them, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Whether people are literally prisoners because of indebtedness and for perhaps because of that, bearing some sort of bonds, or people who are victims of injustice, people who are prisoners of injustice, or all who are in bondage to sin, who need to be set free, who need the bonds of sin that Satan has held over them broken so that they can be set free from that. Jesus comes to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. And he'll do that literally to those who are physically blind, but even beyond that, he comes to give light. He comes to give life. He comes to show truth to people that will set them free. Jesus comes, he says, to release the oppressed, people who have been beaten down by the circumstances of life, people who've been beaten down by people in their life, people who are oppressed, people who are in sin, people who can't get free. And this word released is a word in the Bible that has a whole lot to do with forgiveness. To being released from your oppression is to also be forgiven of your sin, which oppresses your life. This, Jesus says, he came to do and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is a phrase that goes back to the Old Testament. This is a reference to the year of Jubilee. You know, in the land of Israel, among God's people, the Jews, every 50 years was this amazing time where everything started over. If you were in debt, your debts were canceled. If you had mortgaged your property because of some financial problem that you'd been facing, the mortgage was gone, the land was yours, you had full title again. If for some reason you'd become an indentured servant, you were set free. Slaves are set free, debts are canceled. It's this massive start over, do over, a fresh start, so that every 50 years, this act of grace of God's, of God and of his community gives people the chance to start over, to be released from their burdens. And so Jesus says he comes to pronounce this. This, in terms of the Bible, is nothing less than the ushering in of the kingdom of God. That's what's happening in the ministry of Jesus. This is a kingdom in which the poor and the sick and the leper and the alien and the orphan and the oppressed and the sinner and the outcast can be lifted up and embraced by God, where they can find hope. People who are in despair, people who are desperate, can find some good news. It's a world order in which justice will reign, where injustice will be taken away, first of all, in the life of the community of God's people. And secondly, as that community begins to have influence in the world as salt and light and as a city set on a hill. The kingdom of heaven is not some distant, something distant and far away and future. The kingdom of heaven is now. Jesus says, this is it. It's coming now. I'm doing it. The process has begun. That's what my ministry is all about. God is breaking into the world. God is changing people's lives. God is bringing about a new beginning through the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And so often when we think of salvation, or we think of the good news, or we think of the kingdom, we tend to be focused on things that are in the future. We're saved for eternal life, and that's going to be one of these days. And one of these days we'll be in the kingdom of heaven, and we lose sight of how the kingdom begins today. The kingdom isn't just something that's in the future. Oftentimes we think of the gospel as just being something that, you know, you do your transaction, you're obedient, and you get yourself squared away for heaven, and then you go back to life in the world as it is, and nothing's really going to change until Jesus comes back. That's not at all what the kingdom of God is about in the scriptures. It is, God has something to do now. Jesus said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is right here. It's in your heart. It's in your life. It's happening spiritually, Jesus said, even as we speak. And the coming of the kingdom, which of course will fully come with power in the book of Acts, with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and preaching forgiveness through the blood of Christ, it's intended to change people and challenge people immediately to have an impact on our fallen world now, not just in the future. To enter the kingdom of heaven, to enter the kingdom of God, is not a way to get out of this world. It's not a way to get away from this world. Entering the kingdom of God is the way to redeem this world. That's what God is doing in the coming of the kingdom. It's to redeem the world, to save people, to bring people out of darkness, to preach good news to the poor, to release the oppressed. We don't leave the world when we come into the kingdom of God. We enter it as redeemed men and women proclaiming this forgiveness and life that we first heard about through Jesus Christ himself. And yes, we first get right with God. We hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We recognize what our sins have done in our walk with God, how they've separated us from God. We turn from that. We repent of our sins. We come to the blood of Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we're baptized into Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We begin life in the kingdom. And then the Lord commands us to go and share that good news with everyone who hasn't heard it, and to show them that in our way of life, Jesus saves us for eternity at that moment. But he saves us for here and now. Redemption begins now. Because if you're hurt, or you're poor, or you're fallen, or you're guilt-ridden, or you're living in shame, or you're tied to something in your past that has pulled you down, the good news of the gospel sets you free now. Now in Christ, things begin to change. Satan's bonds can be broken. If you've lived in the oppression of sin, if you truly want Christ to set you free from that oppression, to break yourself free from a sin that's been dragging you down, even the one that has been dragging you down in your life today, that can happen. The power of God is there if we give ourselves over to him. He can set us free. He can make things right in our life. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to you when we came into the body of Christ, when we put our faith in Jesus. God began to act immediately in our lives. The forgiveness of sin and guilt, that happened immediately. This being healed and being strong and being whole is something that happens when we first come to Christ. And so we come into the kingdom and our lives are different. Yeah, we still live in the fallen world. It's still the same kingdom out there, isn't it? One that needs to be conquered in the name of Jesus. But we live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven today. Because of that, we live with forgiveness. We live with peace. We live with hope. We live with meaning, not with despair. We live with confidence in God and know that God is working in our life. And this is nothing less than God's kingdom coming, God's rule coming to us, where Christ is king over us. And that's what happens when God begins to rule your life. We're part of that redeemed community. We are part of the kingdom of heaven the kingdom of God today. And we have the same mission as our Lord Jesus Christ had that he stated long ago in Luke chapter 4. So how do we go about that? What do we do? How do we usher in the kingdom of God where it is yet to come into the lives of people who don't know the power and the forgiveness of God, who haven't experienced his grace? What's our role? Well, I'll tell you what, you can take a cue from our King. What did he do? He spent his life with people. He reached out to people. He looked to the hurting. He genuinely cared for their needs. He looked to people who were hopeless. He looked to so many people who, because of sin in their life, had just been totally cast aside by the religious people of the day as being worthless and hopeless and never having any chance of being right with God. And he reached out to those people with grace and with mercy, calling them to repentance, but showing them that there was hope. You know, when Jesus came around, Jesus brought good news. Jesus came to proclaim good news to people who wanted. Yes, there were some people who didn't want his news. There were some people who wouldn't receive his news, who turned against him, who were threatened by him. And he had words for them as well. But when Jesus came to people who were hurting and in need and whose lives were turned upside down, people heard good news. They heard that there was a chance for forgiveness and for release and for freedom. And that's what Jesus did by being present. How many people today need good news? How many people today do we know who are carrying guilt and shame, who look back on decisions they've made in their lives that have taken them in the wrong direction? How many people are looking for true friendship and relationship? How many people are looking for some kind of fresh start? And deep down, really, yes, longing for that eternal life that Christ comes to give. Sarah had two little children. Her ex-husband was behind on his child support. He broke a court order about the restraining order that had been filed against him, and he found himself in jail. Sarah and her two children were alone, no income, no family in the area at all where they lived. A friend of mine, brother in Christ, through a series of providential circumstances, heard about Sarah. And she was open to having someone come by. He and his wife went to visit her. They knew just a little bit about, they didn't know the whole story, but they knew she needed some help, and they went over there. They actually took a couple of stuffed animals with them and a couple of gift cards just to, you know, to go. They went in, they gave the stuffed animals to her two kids, they gave her some gift cards just to help with some groceries and things because they knew that she had some immediate needs. And then they let Sarah tell them her whole story, the whole where she had been, what had happened in her life. And she was open for them being there. She was open to see what they might be able to do, how they might, what they might offer to her. And through this couple and the church of which they're a part, just a small congregation, maybe 50 people, they came up with a plan to help Sarah. They had some folks who could do some babysitting for her. She needed to get a job. They had someone to help her with write a resume. She was behind on her taxes because the husband hadn't filed. They had somebody from the group that would come in and help her file her tax returns. They gave babysitting so she could go out and do some job hunting. They took care of her utilities for a couple of months. They just reached out and did some things. Of course, no strings attached. They just did it because this woman was genuinely in need. And over the course of time, Sarah becomes a part of this congregation, starts coming there, starts worshiping there, bringing her children there. Women reached out to her and established friendships with her so she had a support system. And what's happening in Sarah's life is that the kingdom of God is coming and making its way and pushing against the domain of darkness that has trapped her and her family for so long. And all of a sudden, there's some light coming through, and God's people are reaching out to her and doing what they can, not only to help her with those physical needs that she has, but to teach her about Christ, to talk to her about the new life that's in Christ, a fresh start for her, and to give her hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the coming of the kingdom of God in the life of a person who's still been living in darkness. And when my friend told me about this, he wrote it down. He said, you know, the front doors of the homes that surround us are often strongholds of the enemy, behind which are great pain and suffering that needs the light and love of Jesus that only we can bring. And if only and ever those doors are thrown open, he said, then we're there. And we can go. We can enter. If someone's willing, if someone's receptive, then we can be ready as the people of God to shine on them the light of God's kingdom. Sometimes you have to knock on those doors to get them to open. You know, yesterday there was getting up in the dark in Texas and flying out here, and we've all traveled. We know what that can do to your system and how you need rest. Great group went out yesterday afternoon, not just to talk about the picnic and invite people, but also to tell people about the church, to ask for prayer requests. This week, one of the things we want to do is to be very prayerful about our community and pray specifically for needs that we hear about in our community. Last night we were sharing some stories about how the day went, and one of our sisters talked about a woman by the name of Linda, on whose door she knocked. Linda wasn't interested much. She didn't really care about the picnic. She didn't really care about the church. She didn't want to hear any of that. But then she was asked, is there some need in your life that the church can pray for? Because we're praying for our community this week. And her sister told us last night that at that, Linda's eyes teared up. And she shared with them a health concern that she has. One that we prayed about last night, and many of us will be praying about this week. Is it not the strangest thing that you can go up to the home of a complete stranger and that they will in some fashion open up their heart and their life to you and tell you from their perspective what their needs are and how they are hurting? As my friend said, behind the doors in our community, there is so much going on that the light and the hope and the life of Christ can bless and change forever. Others ask that we pray. One asked that we pray for their mother who's in hospice care. Some other person had immigration issues that they were asking us to pray about. Just a variety of concerns in our community. There are people who are hurting. And what the kingdom does, I mean, we're not a social service. We don't solve all the problems, and neither did Jesus. I mean, but Jesus saw those people who were truly hurting, who were truly open, and he came to them, and he loved them, and he gave them hope. And that's the mission that we have in our community and in our lives, to be able to reach out in that same way and to respond with grace and compassion to people. Because God is really concerned with the whole person. Yes, he wants them saved for all of eternity, but he's also concerned about their well-being in this life as it can be if it's under his control. He comes to give us abundant life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have life to the full, that you can have abundant life. Yes, heaven and eternal life in the presence of God, but in the present day, the abundance of the kingdom of God, living as forgiven people with a heavenly Father, with a hope of heaven, with a wonderful fellowship, with the blessings of Jesus Christ in our life, with the relationship with God that sustains us through every problem. A lot of us remember Cesar that was here a few years ago, came on a Wednesday night, and couldn't see. He had cataracts so bad he couldn't see. He'd lost his job because of that. He'd been working here, sending money home to Guatemala to his family. Now he couldn't work. Living in a garage, didn't have much prospects, didn't have much of a future. And he came on a Wednesday night. He had dinner with us. He had Bible lessons, Bible studies. He was baptized into Christ. But he got food for being hungry, for his hunger. He had a place to stay. And through the generosity of some people here, Cesar took an airplane home to Guatemala, met up with a mission team that we got into contact with who brought about surgery for his eyes and to reunite him with his family. And we've received word on multiple occasions from Cesar about the blessing that this was to him and his thanksgiving to the church. That's the way the kingdom of God sometimes comes into a person's life. And I grant you, that's a pretty dramatic story. And those of us who were a part of it and just witnessed what God was doing back then, it was just amazing how God was at work in that man's life and through the life of this congregation and blessing him. But there are a lot of folks out around us like Cesar. Their situation may not look as dire, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the same spiritual needs. Who am I without Christ? Without Christ, I am blind, and I am hungry, and I am destitute, and I am lost. That's how the world is without Christ. And as those within the body of Christ, we can proclaim good news to people. We have been anointed by Christ and sent out by His command to preach good news to the poor, to the hurting, recovery of sight to the blind, the year of the Lord's favor. And when you and I get involved in people's lives, that's when we can build those relationships with them and walk with them through the sorrows and the joys and whatever need it may be that they're facing at the time, and to respond with generosity and with unconditional love and with true concern and friendship, to let them see the love of God in us. That's how we plant the seed of the gospel in people's hearts and lives. Not just talking about salvation, but living it out. Living as saved people who have been redeemed, letting them see that fellowship and that love within us. That's what Jesus did with folks of his day. That's what happened with the church in the early chapters of the book of Acts. People saw the fellowship, people saw the love, and they were drawn to that. They saw how this community had been changed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's open our eyes and continue to open our eyes to all the opportunities that we have, because they are ever around us. And sometimes we just don't open our eyes to see that neighbor or the person at work. And maybe they're going through a divorce. Or maybe one of their parents is struggling with Alzheimer's, or somebody's in hospice care, or somebody in the family's lost their job, but something's happening and something's going on in their life. And we can be there just as the hands of Jesus to reach out to them, to shoulder their burdens along with them, to be friends, to let them see the love of God in us. You know, I even think today, as we go over to a park, I don't know who's going to be at the park. I don't know if we'll meet 100 people, if we'll meet 10 people, if we'll meet 1,000 people. That'd be pretty amazing if we met 1,000 people. But hey, I hear there are a lot of hot dogs at Stater Brothers. And if not, we'll drive to Costco and get a case of them. But who knows who God might bring to us today? Who knows what hurting person, what person looking for redemption, for faith, for a fresh start, who knows who might just happen to come over our way that we might see today and meet that we've never even met before? God works in those ways, and we're aware of that. We need to be praying for that, and we need to be proactive about it. We need to be reaching out. We need to be hospitable. We need to be friendly. We need to be vocal. We need to meet people and welcome them and befriend folks and show them the kindness of God and meet there in the park and worship the Lord God there before our community. And who knows what seeds may be planted and what soul may be drawn to the Lord. Just that service in the sun. That's not just what this week is about. That's what life is about. Serving in the name of Jesus. And as we live out faithfully in this fallen world, as we show the love of God and concern in this world, and people see it in real ways, in tangible ways, with actual help, maybe going to their house and washing their windows or doing something for them. Some of our neighbors that maybe will be serving this week. They can see the difference that Jesus Christ can make in a person's life. And they can see what it's like to be in the kingdom of God. It may be that this week, as some are exposed to the good news of Jesus Christ, they will begin that journey or continue that journey of coming to faith in the Lord. That God will enter their life through our good deeds, through our voices, through our knocking on their door, by us reaching out to them and getting them a garden plot here in the near future. And as we reach out to them, as we share God's love with them, What happens is the kingdom of God comes. The rule of God comes in the good news of Jesus Christ and that message of salvation and forgiveness through his blood. And people's lives can be changed. And we, in the meantime, what our job is to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to those who are imprisoned, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today and every day, may our eyes be opened to every opportunity that God places before us to be his hands, to be the feet, to be the mouth, to speak, to reach out, to be a blessing to the world around us. To any among us who aren't in the body of Christ yet, you don't know yet the forgiveness of those sins that Christ brings about through the offering up of his blood. You don't have to wait till the end of time to begin to know eternal life. It begins now. It begins by coming to Jesus and accepting him as Lord and Master and being obedient to that gospel and repenting of sins and being baptized into Christ and coming into that community of faith, into the kingdom of God, and living out your life as a child of God and as a subject of our King Jesus. And in that way, today, in our hearing, as in long ago Nazareth, in our hearing, the reading of this great text will come to be anew, that it will be fulfilled today as the kingdom of God comes to one more person in need of his love and mercy. And if there are any here among us today who need that love and mercy of God, we invite you to him. Stand and sing together.